Let's just pray as we come to reflect on the meaning of Christmas. Father, we ask now that as we reflect on your word and as we spend some moments just thinking about the meaning of Christmas, speak to us, Lord, we ask. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I don't know about you, but I love flying. In fact, when I was younger, I used to want to be a pilot. And this has really helped my family over the years because they've known the kind of things to get me for Christmas presents, you know, anything related to planes. And in fact, in recent years, I've got some great presents, one of which I've got here now. Do you want to see it? Let me see if I can look at this. Fantastic. I didn't realize you still got these things when you were older, but both my daughter and I have really enjoyed playing with this. It's even got a pilot inside. But you know, the first pilot ever was two brothers, the Wright brothers. We've got a picture of them up here on the screen. And the Wright brothers, and that's their flying machine, the first one they got to fly. The Wright brothers successfully managed to fly 120 feet in 1903. And they sent a telegram to their sister Catherine. This is what the telegram said. "We have actually flown 120 feet. We'll be home for Christmas." And the sister Catherine was so excited, she took it to the local newspaper and she showed the newspaper man, she showed this telegram and said, "Look." And he said, "How nice. They'll be home for Christmas." And he'd completely missed the main point that man had flown. And you know, in this busy kind of commercialized Christmas that we get nowadays, I don't want you, for all the wrapping paper, to miss the real meaning of Christmas. So I want us just for these few moments to zero in on just one verse from all those readings we had, verse that was in our second reading when the angel comes to Joseph. And this is what he says in Matthew 1, verse 21. This really encapsulates the heart of the meaning of Christmas. "She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." The first thing I want us to see is there's a name that shines. You know, some names in history shine out like candles, don't they? We've got wonderful candles all around. Thanks, Dave, who did those. But some names in history shine. Here's a face you may recognize. Who's that? Martin Luther King. Doesn't his name just shine? Don't you kind of, even as you hear it and see it, you get inspired? But think about it. Think about the backdrop to that man. What is it out of which he shines? Well, it's actually a dark backdrop. It's a terrible backdrop. It's the backdrop of racial segregation. But out of that, he shines. He shines. What about another name? Who's this? Gandhi. Again, wonderful man. A name that shines. But what's the backdrop of Gandhi? Again, it's darkness. It's imperialism, terrible things that were done at that time that Gandhi was speaking out against. Well, what about another name? Who's this? A bit closer to home, Winston Churchill. And again, a name that shines, but against the backdrop of Nazism and World War and even the concentration camps. And that's part of the reason why his name shines. You know, in these guys' days, people flocked to them. They flocked to their funerals. But there's now someone who I want us to remember whose name shines far more brightly. Someone who 2,000 years after he lived, still millions, even billions, are gathering for services dedicated to his name. Who am I talking about? Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ. His name shines. It shines brightly and gloriously and beautifully. In fact, there's a verse in the Old Testament, the prophecy of Isaiah, which says this, talking about Jesus, written some hundred or so years before his life, hundreds of years before he was born. It says this, "The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned." So here's my question for us this evening. What is it out of which Jesus shines? What is the dark backdrop through which Jesus shines? Not just like a candle, but like the rising sun of the dawn. You know, if Martin Luther King saved people from racial segregation, if Gandhi saved people from imperialism, if Who was the other one? Churchill. Save people from Nazism. What does Jesus do? What does Jesus do? What does Jesus save people from? Well, we got the verse back up on the screen. Let's have a look at it together. Let's get our kind of investigative sort of detective hats on. Come on, let's have a look. And you are to give him the name Jesus because he will save his people from their sins. Right, okay, what's that all about? Well, the next thing I want us to see is that this name of Jesus doesn't just shine, the name of Jesus saves. The name of Jesus actually means savior. That's what the word means. And Jesus saves us from our sins. What's that all about? Sin, what's that? Well, what is the reason why the world is so messed up? What are the reasons why we have these terrible things happening in history and they somehow we can't seem to get away from them? They still go on and man's not quite right. What is the problem? As a friend of mine likes to say, someone who's also does a lot of speaking, he says, the heart of the problem is the problem of the heart. It's our hearts that are the problem. My heart. Your heart. Our hearts, not just towards one another, but our hearts ultimately towards God. That's what sin is. It's a heart problem. It's a relational problem. Not between man and man, but between man and God. And that's far, far worse. That's a far bigger problem. In fact, all the other problems around the world find their root cause in that one problem. That problem of sin. So you can imagine if someone came and was saved us from sin, then that name would shine wonderfully brightly. So let's unpack this word sin a bit more to help us understand just how amazing is what Jesus has done for us. You know, sin is a word that's been around for a long time, but it's a word that's taken on a fresh meaning to me in the last couple of weeks when I met up with a friend of mine. And he said to me, you know, David, I heard this description of sin, which I found really helpful. You're welcome to use it, he said. So here I am. Thank you, my friend Mark, for using this. And he put it like this. Here you go. Sin, S, shut up. Shut up, God. I'm in charge. N, nobody tells me what to do. Isn't that just a mantra of our world so often? Shut up, particularly, shut up, God. Don't want to hear from you. I'm in charge. Nobody's going to tell me how to run my life. You know what that is? That's sin. That's not independence. That's sin. Have you ever slammed a door in someone's face? Yeah, I know you have. But you know what sin is? It's slamming a door in God's face. Turning our back on him. If you imagined doing that, slamming that door, turning away, as it were, out onto the street, into the cold. Imagine I did that now. I just said, you know what, folks? You know, I may have had an issue with the sound man, who does a great job. Thank you, guys. Say I had an issue with him, and I just literally went down, slammed the door, went out onto the street, slammed the door. I'd be out there in the cold, probably upset and frustrated. And that's so often the way. And it's the same with God. When we slam the door in his face, it's not us that win, it's us that lose. Let me illustrate it another way. With my £20 note. It's like this. They're a bit hard to come by this time of year in our pockets. We usually spend them all. But imagine a £20 note, not here in nice pristine condition, but crumpled up out on the street in the cold, in a puddle. It's a bit like us when we slam the door in God's face. Now let me ask you this. How much is that £20 worth? Note, worth now. How much is it worth? Still worth £20, isn't it? But is it useful to anyone? Well, not if it's on the puddle. It's not fulfilling its purpose. It's out there in the cold. What does it need? Does it need someone to come and pick it up to save it? Absolutely, doesn't it? It needs someone to go down and actually retrieve it and pick it up and establish the purpose for which it's made to be. And you know, folks, that's the Christmas message. The Christmas message is that each one of us is valuable to God, even special and loved by him, even though we've turned our back on him and we've slammed a door in his face. And he's loved us so much, just like the children were singing about, that he's coming down. He's coming down to earth to pick us up. You know, we sung, didn't we, at the beginning, mild he lays his glory by, born that man no more may die, born to raise the sons of earth, born to give them second birth. Hark, the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn king. And he picks us up and he brings us back, as it were, into what we're made for. Brings us back to find our purpose. Brings us back into a right relationship with God. He, as it were, restores us back to our rightful place, where we can know friendship with God, even though we've slammed the door in his face. So that's the message of Christmas. It's a wonderful message of what God has done for you. You know, we get bombarded with messages at Christmas, don't we? You know, that say, this is what you need to do. You need to go shopping, and you need to buy this, and you need to get this food, and you need to do this before you finish work, and you need to, you need to write Christmas cards. Endless, endless lists of things that we need to do. Well, guys, friends, tonight, the Christmas message is not something you need to do. The Christmas message is that God in love has done something for you. God has come as Jesus to save his people from their sins, to pick us up, to restore us, to establish us as he wants us to be. That's good news. That's why it's worth singing. That's why it's worth celebrating. And you know what? I love this time of year because I'm always discovering fresh things about Christmas. And there might be people here and you've known the Christmas story for many years. Well, look out for things this Christmas. Fresh ways of kind of listening to the same story, but just to take it a heart afresh, because it's wonderful. We should never tire of it. This week had the privilege of going to the Summer Hill Carol Service, which happens right here in this place, and they sang a song which I'd never heard before, but really touched me. I really enjoyed it. And this is what it went. It went like this. What do you do when you get some news that lights your fuse? Do you feel confused? Just stay cool. Don't be a fool. And check it out. Check it out. That's what they sung. And I've discovered that some of the kids in our church even know it already. Check it out. And I want to say, maybe you're here tonight and you don't actually often really think about spiritual things. You don't really kind of see yourself as someone who kind of faith and you have much together. Well, I want to say, why not over these next 40 days, check it out? Why not between now and the end of January kind of go on a faith experiment? As it were, maybe the men will connect with this a bit more. Why not take faith out for a test drive? Say, right, okay. I'm gonna actually come back and find out a bit more. We've got another service on the 23rd, which is a week's time in the evening. Different carols, different talk, but same chance to meet with God, meet with people, and journey more on this journey of faith. You might want to come back in January to any of our services. Information about them. We'd love to see you. Maybe it's you used to come to a church or this church or another church, and maybe this is a chance to commit again to coming back, to check it out again. Maybe there's information in your notice sheet that you got about an event at the Dome in January where David Oyelowo's on Spooks. He has great story of his faith, his journey of faith, how he came to know God. He's going to be telling it at the Dome. Why not come along? Bring a friend. You might even want to do Alpha, which is a course that many have done that helps them unpack their faith. In fact, I have a book here by the guy who pioneered the Alpha course called Why Christmas. And I've got a number of these copies, and I would love, I've got about, 100 of them. So you can't all take them. But if you just think tonight, actually, I'd love to check it out. To take things further, why not pick up a copy of Why Christmas as you leave? But you know, I think there's going to be some people here this evening, and you're thinking, slamming the door in God's face? Yeah, I can relate to that. Feeling out on the street in the cold, needing to find my purpose? Yeah, I can relate to that. Needing to have a relationship with God restored? Yeah. I can relate to that. And you know what? I don't want to wait till next week or after 40 days. I want to have that relationship right tonight. I want to know what it is to... Did you see the verse? It talked about he will save his people from their sins. I think we got it back up here on the screen. Because he will save his people from their sins. And though the angel said to the shepherds, this is good news for all people, and it's good news for all people. When you receive a great gift, it's only good news, even though it might be a gift that all have the opportunity to come to. We welcomed everyone who wanted to come to this service, but only you guys came. Good move. Jesus' offer is the same. He welcomes all. It's good news for all. But who's saved from their sins? Why, it's his people. Those who say, yeah, I want to follow Jesus. I want to get back right with God. I want to be picked up by him. Allow him to save me. And you might be sitting there and thinking, well, David, I'd like to be restored in that way. I'd like to be saved from my sins, but how do I do that? Well, you do it by asking him in prayer. You've heard some people pray tonight. Doesn't matter the exact words you use, it's just talking to God. But here's three words that might just help you get started as you talk to God, even tonight. Three words you use all the time. Sorry. If you've slammed the door in someone's face and you want to get back with them, you know what you need to do? You need to say sorry. Have you ever said sorry to God? You need to say thank you. Thank you, God, for sending Jesus. You know, we sometimes say, thank you, God, for helping me with that exam or through that crisis. But have you ever thanked God for his greatest gift that he's ever given you? Jesus Christ. And then you need to say, please. Please, God, come into my life. Please, God, pick me up. Please, God, I receive your gift of forgiveness. So what I want to do right now as we come to the end, I want to just pray a simple prayer like that. And if you've been sitting here and thinking, yeah, I know tonight I want to get right with God. I want to have that relationship restored. I'd encourage you, just simply echo these words of this prayer in your own heart. Make it your own tonight. So let's bow our heads and I'm going to pray a simple prayer as we end. God, sorry for how we've turned our back on you. Sorry for our sin. Sorry for my sin. Thank you for sending Jesus to save me from my sins. Please forgive me and come into my life. I receive your gift. Amen. It's a simple prayer. And you might be thinking, just if you've echoed that in your heart, you might be thinking, has anything changed? Well, you know what? Big doors turn on little hinges. I used to be an engineer, so I should know. Big doors turn on little hinges. And simple little prayers like that, simple little words we say to one another are the key to whether relationships get restored or not. And you know what I'd love? If you did echo that in your heart tonight, I would love just to know so that I can, as your pastor here tonight, be praying for you. And just come and speak to me on the door. I'd love to just catch your name and even scribble down your address so that I can just write to you and tell you something that's helped me as I've journeyed with God on this journey of faith. So do catch me. If I'm busy talking to someone, you can always catch Tim or even Philip, who was the guy who did the second reading, the Egyptian guy who did the second reading. And we'd love, we won't entertain you, but just love to be able to pray for you in that way.